It's so good to connect ourselves with the God that is all over all the earth, isn't it? And to hear those languages, you just remember this meal that we took this morning is being taken by millions of people around the world today. Millions of people around the world today. All of them worshipping God in their own language and in their own way. And you think we are part of this amazing movement that we call church. We're part of this amazing body of God working to bring God's kingdom. As we worship and pray and take this meal and sing in all the different languages of the globe. All to the same God, all to the same Creator, all to the same Jesus. And it all started 2,000 years ago at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came on the people. I love Pentecost. And I think one of the reasons I like it is I just remind myself that, you know what, Christianity isn't boring. Even just to, sometimes I get lulled into a false sense that following Jesus just means that you're like everyone else, but a little bit nicer. Does anyone else have that? That you're just like, my mental version of a Christian is like a normal person, but nice. A normal person who doesn't get angry on the M25. A normal person who doesn't get frustrated when they stub their toe. A normal person, they just don't swear or gamble or drink too much. And I read this passage in Acts and I think Christianity is not defined by normal people being nice. Christianity is normal people being filled with the power of the Spirit in order to act like Jesus would on this earth. We're not called just to be average but a bit nicer. We're called to be normal people filled with the power of God himself. Following Jesus, I think, is the most exciting thing you can do with your life. I believe that asking God to fill you and to follow Jesus is the most adventurous thing that you can do with your life. I think that living with the power of the Holy Spirit means to live life to the full, as Jesus says. Not just to live normally, but a little bit nicer. Anyway, let's look at the story. It's 50 days after the crucifixion. It's 50 days after this meal. It's 50 days after Passover. And last week we looked at, these are the kind of, I think, stages that in Christianity we can identify with. We've got Christmas, which we all love, because it's great, isn't it? I think we're good at eating, aren't we, Christians? We're like, Christmas, let's celebrate God with us. Bring out the turkey. And then Easter, let's celebrate God for us. Hot cross buns. And now, Pentecost. God in us. We start with the concept that God is with us, that God is close to you. That when you wake up on a Tuesday morning, regardless of what you are going through that day, you can know that God is with you. Whatever experiences you have on a Wednesday afternoon, you can know that God knows what that feels like. Because Christmas tells us that God is with us. Calvary, the cross, means that God is for you. This morning we ate bread, we drank the wine. And I hope as you did that, you remembered the fact that God loved you so much that he is willing to take all of your rubbish and give you new life. That meal we shared was bought at a price. And God thought that you were worth it. Bethlehem means that God is with us. The cross means that God is for us. But Pentecost, what we're looking at today, means that God is in you. That the Holy Spirit is within you. When people look at you, they can see God working in your life. You are the closest a lot of people will come to reading a Bible. For many people, your friends, you're the only Christian they ever meet. When they look at you, they can see something of the character of God as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. I have conversations with Christians a lot. And do you ever find that sometimes the Holy Spirit is just kind of put to one side? And I think this is normal because God, we kind of have a concept of God. I can see God, the Father. Jesus, I can get on board with Jesus. I've got a mental picture of him. I can read about what he does in the Gospels. But the Holy Spirit is just a bit odd. Do we ever feel this? Is it just me? God, we can get on board with Jesus, but the Holy Spirit, that one is just a little bit. What's the Holy Spirit about? What is this Holy Ghost? What is this Spirit of God? The first time we encounter the Holy Spirit is in Genesis, where it hovers over the waters. I think for some of us, when we think about the Holy Spirit, we just think of this mysterious force kind of hovering over the earth. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit comes upon certain people to do certain things at certain times. The fantastically named Bezalel, which I just think is a cracking name. Because my surname's ridiculous, Charity and I once did think, if we ever had kids, how could we use all of the letters in the alphabet? Bezalel would be good, actually, wouldn't it? Because we haven't got a Z. Got an X and like a lot of other letters. I think our surname's worth 38 on Scrabble, if any of you cared. But anyway, Bezalel. We should remember that. Bezalel, in the Old Testament, it says this about Bezalel: I filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill and ability and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. The Holy Spirit comes on Bezalel, a specific person in the Old Testament, in order for him to do some stuff artistically. In Deuteronomy, Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the Spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on it. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. The Holy Spirit comes on Joshua for a specific task at a specific time. I think at times I just view the Holy Spirit as this odd, mysterious force hovering over the earth. Sometimes I think of the Holy Spirit as just for a few specific people at specific times. The super Christians. The ones who've really got it all together. Sometimes we think, yeah, I can understand and I can pray to God. I can experience and I can read about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit, that's just for the super Christians. That's just for the Bezalels and the Joshuas. But even in the Old Testament, they knew that the Holy Spirit was never meant to just be a mysterious force hovering. It was never meant just to be for a few people at certain times. The Holy Spirit is for you this morning, tomorrow, the rest of your life. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive, and you can receive that power today, tomorrow, for the rest of your life. Let's not keep this idea that the Holy Spirit is some mystical force that hovers over the earth that every now and then we become aware of. Let's not get this idea that the Holy Spirit is just for the super Christians or the deacons or the popes or the elected officials. No, the Holy Spirit is for everyone. As we've just heard in three different languages, in the last days God said, I will pour my Spirit out on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Guys, this Holy Spirit is not just for certain people at certain times. The Holy Spirit is for you today, tomorrow. The Holy Spirit is God's power at work in you. And you can receive it. God's only got good gifts for you. This isn't something weird. It's not something to be afraid of. Ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Why? Because he will. Because he's got good plans for you. So I used to live in Hull, or Hollywood, as I like to call it. And when I first moved to Hull, then I was looking for a church. And I lived in this particular street. Oh, we've done that one. And while I was looking for a church, I used to walk past, this was just around the corner, and I saw this building. And I thought, oh, fantastic, a church. And then I saw the sign, and as you can see, it just said church on the way. And I was like, I'll go there when it opens. That'll be fine. There's a church on the way. And every day, I walk past this church. I was talking to my dad one day, and he was like, have you found a church yet? And I was like, not really. There was one around the corner that would be good, but it's not opened yet. It's just church on the way. So I have to go a bit further. I go to this Vineyard one now. It's like, Seven, you idiot. That's an Elim church. It's called Church on the Way. It's open. You can go in. They're there. There's genuinely a church. This is a true story. I walked past that church many times and I just assumed it was shut. Sometimes I feel that that's like us with God. We look at it and we're like, it'll come one day, and we wander past it and we think we'll go somewhere else. We're looking for the power of God to move in our lives and we think, well, not today. Church on the way. It'll come one day. When it's open, I'll go. That's what God's like. Guys, it's open. It's open. Just go in. Just ask. Just ask God. God's open for business. Like this church that was just open for all of those weeks and I never bothered to go in because, quite frankly, I was a bit of an idiot. All this time it was open. You just walk in. You just say yes to it. It's the same with God. It's like, don't walk past me. Don't walk past me looking for other ways to experience the power of the Spirit. Don't walk past me. I'm open. Come and experience me here. I know that in a few weeks, or maybe it's happened, there's some psychic fair happening in Earl's Cone. I hear about that. It just makes me sad. The reason why it makes me sad is because I think people are walking past churches in order to find some spiritual power. I'm like, guys, we're open. It's here. What? Why are you going there for this spiritual experience when God is open to you now? I'm not some weird spirit hovering over the earth. I'm not just available for the super Christians who are good enough. I will pour out my Spirit on all people, God says, which includes you today, tomorrow. The Holy Spirit, when we read this passage about what it does to the disciples, you read it and you just get the sense that God is on the move. That God's doing something. There's a lot of different people who use this building during the week. Some of them are Christian groups, some of them aren't. And what I really pray for is that everyone who comes into this building feels God was in this place. That's what I pray. That even if you're coming in here for an exercise class, that you'd get a sense that God is in this place. In the Old Testament, Jacob has this experience of God. And it says this, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord was in this place and I was not aware of it. When people look at your life, do they think God's at work there? When people hear your story, do they think there's someone whose God is at work in? One of the reasons that this morning was quite emotional for me and for Charity as well was because for a long time we genuinely thought she would never play guitar again. It was a moment of real desperation. We didn't talk about it much to people because it was horrible, that concept. And to see her play this morning, you just think, actually, God's been at work here. There were so many days when I just thought God would never move. But actually, we look back over the last and you think, God's been at work there. God's been at work there. God's on the move. When people hear your story, can they say God is on the move? That's what the Holy Spirit does. As it invades our life, as we make ourselves available to God, then when people see us, they can say God has been on the move. The Holy Spirit brings the miraculous. You've got these people in this upper room. We've started doing prayer meetings in the upper room over there just because I think it's quite a cool concept to have prayer meetings in an upper room, like the guys in Acts. They're in the upper room and suddenly the Holy Spirit moves on them and they start seeing tongues of fire on their heads and they all start speaking. And they're speaking in these languages that they've never learned and people are understanding what's going on. We'll be looking next week a little bit more about what happens through Acts. But they start doing these incredible stuff. Peter's shadow is healing people. He just walks down the street and people are experiencing the power of God. He's walking down the street and people just know that they've been touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. I struggle with miracles. I'm not going to lie. I just find it difficult because I don't feel like I see enough of them. I find it hard when I know that people have been sick and I've prayed for healing and they haven't got better. I know that we pray for people sometimes and their situation doesn't change. But when I read the book of Acts, then I am inspired to keep on praying. This doesn't mean that every time we pray, we can expect the situation to change and someone to be miraculously healed. But I do know that it does happen. I do know that miracles happen. I know that miracles happen every single day. Half the time we just need to be aware to see what's going on. Quite frankly, the fact that you're breathing and alive today, I think, is a miracle. Quite frankly, I think that the fact that the earth is still spinning is a miracle. But not only that, when we invite the Holy Spirit, we can start to expect to see things that humanly are impossible. Someone once challenged me, they're like, in your church services, if God didn't show up, would anyone notice? Just a little bit. I was writing an order of service for today, and I did have to mention, it is odd writing an order of service for Pentecost, isn't it? Simply because reading that story, I can't imagine the disciples had an order of service. So, at 8:30, we will gather together. At 8:35, we'll take communion. At 8:45, we will sing some songs. And at 8:55, everyone's head will suddenly have tongues of fire. We'll all start speaking in different languages. And then we'll go outside and everyone will think we're drunk. I can't imagine that Peter signed off on that order of service. It does feel a little bit odd to think we'll do this, this and this. It's good to do those things because we want to give God space to move. But as we come together and meet, I want to expect God to do something miraculous. It's what the Holy Spirit does. You can expect things to change. We don't like this as British people, that the Holy Spirit changes our emotions. I remember I was at this, I might have told this story before, I can't remember. I was at this breakfast meeting thing with some blokes. They just decided to do a little bit of worship. I wasn't expecting to encounter God in a powerful way. Quite frankly, I had other plans. I had a nice breakfast, had a nice chat. Time to go home, innit? And they started singing these songs. And I don't know what came over me, but all I know is that 45 minutes later, I was still in tears, laid out on the floor. It was ridiculous. It's like, where on earth did that come from? I wasn't prepared for it. I wasn't expecting it. I didn't work myself into some emotional state. They just started worshipping God, and I felt the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm a firm believer that God is all around us. Where two or three are gathered, God's here. But I also believe that there are times when it feels like the Holy Spirit is moving, that we encounter the presence of God in a more powerful way than we have done before. One of the ways I try and understand it, it's like the air. Air's always here, but sometimes the wind starts blowing and we really notice it. I feel it's like that with the Holy Spirit. God's presence is all around us all of the time. The Holy Spirit is in you. But every now and then, there's a sound like a mighty wind and it starts blowing through and we get the sense God is up to something here. And sometimes it messes with our emotions. Sometimes when we say, Holy Spirit, come, you do not need to be scared of the fact it might change your emotions. The God who created the universe is infilling you with the power. The God who raised Jesus from the dead is encountering you as an individual. The God who's been there since the beginning of time is now meeting with you in an incredible way. So don't be surprised if maybe you can smile a bit. Don't be surprised if maybe it's a little bit too much emotionally. Now, I just want to say this at this point. This doesn't mean that every time we get emotional, then that must mean God's up to something. I'm not a fan of let's work ourselves up into an emotional frenzy, because that must mean that God's on the move. Not at all. Sometimes when God moves, we respond emotionally, and that's absolutely fine. If you want to laugh during worship, if you want to laugh during, just fine. If you feel that you just want to sit down and cry, that's fine. God's moving in people. Some people don't get emotional. That's fine. I'll tell you what, I'll just let God do what he's doing. And we can respond how we respond. We're all individuals. But when they experience the power of the Holy Spirit, they go outside and people are like, those guys are drunk. It's been a long time since someone's accused me of being drunk just for being a Christian. just for experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. The emotion isn't the important thing, but I just want to say that sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes, people respond emotionally, and that's fine. And finally, the Holy Spirit compels us to change the world around us. I love this in the passage, that the Holy Spirit comes on them and they find themselves outside telling people. Because once you've experienced the power of God, it's hard to not to talk about it. Once you've experienced God changing your life, once you've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, then it's absolutely natural that we tell the people around us. When the Holy Spirit comes, it shows that God is at work. Shows that God's at work in your life. When the Holy Spirit comes, we can expect the miraculous. When the Holy Spirit comes, it might affect our emotions. It might not, but it might. And that's absolutely fine. And when the Holy Spirit comes, it compels us to share His good news with the people around us. I pray that as we experience God on a Sunday, it empowers us to bring His kingdom on a Monday. I hope that our services on a Sunday empower us to share His love and His mercy and His grace with the people that we encounter on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, the people at work, the people in our families. I trust that the Holy Spirit, as it changes us, helps us to bring His kingdom throughout the rest of our lives. Next week, we're going to be having another look at Acts. I want us to look at a few more practical ways that the Holy Spirit transforms this little community of 120 or so people praying scared in an upper room into the millions strong church that we see today of all tribes and nations and tongues. But for now, we're just going to spend a few minutes inviting God to come and fill us again with His Holy Spirit, if that's all right. So, Charity, do you want to come up and play something on guitar? Can I just invite you to stand, sit your hands in front of you, and close your eyes? If you would rather sit, do that. If you'd rather not get involved at all, then that's okay. But if you just want to feel God filling you with His Holy Spirit, if you just want to experience some more of God's love, then let's do that together. So if you want to stand now, close your eyes, stick your hand in front of you. And I'm just going to pray, then Charity is going to lead us in a song to finish. God, it says in your word that you give good gifts to your children. And we know that your Holy Spirit, your power and your love is a good gift. And we ask that you would come and fill us with your Holy Spirit. We know that you are here. We know that you are within us. But we just ask that we would again receive a filling of your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.